Going to turn back to the book of Titus. We haven't been in Titus we had a snow day, and then we had 2 days that I preached on the incarnation of Christ. So we haven't been in Titus for 3 weeks, which makes it difficult when it comes to continuity. So I'm going to have to go back a teeny bit here in order to tie it all together. We saw in the beginning of our study, Paul bringing out to young Titus, pastor of the church in Crete, the importance of preaching the word. His first responsibility was to preach the word. The first responsibility of a pastor today is to pray and preach the word. And many pastors, sadly, tragically, have placed preaching the word down the priority list. When Paul wrote to Timothy about preaching in 2 Timothy chapter 4, at the very end of his life, the last thing on his heart, the very beginning of that chapter, he said to young Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are going to live a successful Christian life, the only way to live in the eyes of God now, a successful Christian life, is through prayer and study of the word of God. If you're not already a student of the Bible, in 2025, please, I beg you, make it a priority. You don't have, don't make yourself a New Year's resolution that you know you're not going to keep. Bless God, I'm going to start tomorrow, Monday, the 6th of January. I'm going to read 32 chapters a day, and I'm going to study the original Greek and Hebrew. I'm going to begin to learn the Hebrew Bible and the Greek New Testament. And then I'm going to memorize 14 verses a day. How long do you think that'll last? I wouldn't even last the first day, would it? Make it real. If you're not in the habit of reading the Bible every day, start out by saying, I'm going to read a chapter a day. Proverbs is a great place. You got 31 Proverbs. The longest month is 31 days. You can read one a day, right? And pray. You don't have to pray for an hour and a half. If you're not in the habit of praying every day, God would be delighted to hear 2 minutes, right? And as you feed the spiritual side of things, God will give you a desire for more. The part of us, whether it be the old man, the old nature, the sin nature, or whether it be the Holy Spirit, whether it be the new nature, the one that we feed the most is going to get the strongest. If we're living in the energy of the flesh over and over and over again, that's going to be the strong part. We don't want the flesh to be strong. The second responsibility Titus had to fulfill was to appoint godly leaders. Remember, he pastored church in Crete. There were many different assemblies, many meeting in homes, and so he had to make sure they were taken care of, that leaders were appointed in these churches. We talked about the qualifications for a leader. And we're not going to go through all those, so let me skip through all those. There's a bunch of them. Talked about the result of adhering to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, especially sound doctrine, of course. Positively, we looked at it, exhorting believers in sound doctrine, negatively to refute those who were not believers, false teachers that were trying to lead believers astray. So they were to preach the word, appoint godly leaders, and silence false teachers. We spent some time on that because Paul wrote in detail to Titus how he was to fight against the false teachers because of their personal character and by what they did. Then we started in chapter 2 talking about different segments of the church. The Apostle Paul, in giving instruction regarding how the people in the church are to behave, he began with the older men, the older saints. We men that have some years, not just age-wise, but in the Lord. Many here, I've been saved 48 years here within a couple of weeks. Some of you have been saved longer than that, some shorter periods of time, but we've been Christians for a long time, and our lives should demonstrate that. I know some men who have been saved for 50 years, but live and act like they've been saved a week. Others, I know men that have been saved for a year and have grown dramatically. It just depends on the seriousness of the individual. That's why in all these groups we're going to look at, Paul always told them to be sober. And not that doesn't just mean don't drink booze. That means to be serious about the things of God, to have priorities in the right order, to put first things first. We get it all mixed up. We get so world crazy that we fail in the things that really bring us joy if we're truly born again. We neglect the spiritual and we're truly born again believers. We're going to be miserable. That doesn't bring us joy. That brings us grief, doesn't it? No Christian wants to fail. But if we're not in the Word of God in prayer and trusting God and relying upon the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be successful in the Christian life. We're going to be miserable people. Remember what Job said all the way back in Job 12:12, where the ancient is wisdom. I try not to consider myself as ancient, but I'm getting pretty close. With the ancient, with those who got a little age, is wisdom. You could say should be wisdom. And in length of days, understanding. In Ecclesiastes 12:1-3, we looked at the fact that old age can become hopeless and depressing. Change for someone that's older can be difficult. We can be less satisfied with life. Maybe we're retired from our job. And, you know, we men, if we have a career, it becomes a part of us. It's important to a man to feel important, to feel needed, to feel appreciated. Some men who retire lose a lot of themselves and become less satisfied with life. Well, it shouldn't be that way for a senior saint. We should love God more because we know him better. The older we get, the more we should know God, right? Our love for God's people and God's church should increase. In my life, that is absolutely true. My love for God's people in 41 years of pastoring has grown dramatically over the years. My love for God's people and my love for his church. I've told you this before. If you cut me, I bleed local church. It's how much I love the local church. I'm a firm believer. And there's no excuse for not becoming a member of a local body of believers. There's no excuse. No excuse. And I just want to warn you, as your pastor, because I love you more, I want you to know that you will answer to Christ at the judgment seat of Christ for not being a member of a local body of believers. See, Pastor, that's not true. Yeah, it is. And you just have to wait and see. Okay? I promise you that's going to happen. We should grow in our appreciation for God. Because after all, who's taken care of us all these years? Come on, who was it? It was God, right? He took care of us. He provided for us. He gave us the health to be here this morning. And also the desire to be here. We should thank God for the privilege of being able to serve him for all of these many years. And then, of course, eagerly awaiting the day that we just sang about, the last verse especially, sweet hour of prayer, waiting for that day when we're raptured out of this place. Are you ready to go? I am definitely, definitely ready. Then we, not only did we talk about older men, then we got into all the details that are listed, and we're not going to go through all those again. Then we talked about the older women, both older men and older women. Christian women are a rich spiritual resource in the church. We should appreciate and esteem those that are older saints. The older women, just like the younger men are to teach the younger women. And of course, for a young man or a young woman to be taught by someone older, they must listen. Sometimes it's hard for the young to listen to the old because they feel like the old don't know anything. It's amazing as we get older, we realize how much our parents really knew. They weren't as crazy as we thought they were. We looked at character traits of the older women. And again, we're not going to go through all those again because we already did. We talked about various areas that they were to teach the younger women, loving their husbands. They're to love their children. They're to be discreet against, sensible. Just like the elders, the older men, all believers, chapter 2, verse 12, all are to be sober. All are to be serious-minded, which leads us finally to where we left off. Women there to teach, the older women were to teach the younger women to be keepers at home. Look at Titus again, and I've, through moving around, flipped my pages here. In verse number 5, chapter 2, verse 5, to be discreet or sensible, to be chaste or pure. And then next, to be keepers at home or workers at home. Or you could say keeping a good home or keeping a good house, not being idle. Now, here's the problem. Because we live in 2025, there are many that think verses 4 and 5 here in Titus 2 are not relevant. But I want you to know that every part of the Word of God is relevant. We may not do exactly the same things, but the principles are always the same. Now, I'm going to give you some personal opinion, and I'll let you know when it's opinion, because opinions, everyone has one, right? Here's the way I've handled it all these many years. Barbara worked outside of the home for most of our marriage. She worked for a purpose. The purpose was that our children never had to set foot in a public school. Okay? She, back then, homeschooling wasn't like it is now. I think if we had the kids at home now, Barb was still with us, we would homeschool. Back in those days, homeschooling was very embryonic. It was, you know, I'm old. We're going back a ways. Okay? So we put them in a Christian school. I knew the pastor personally. I trusted him. I knew some of the teachers, and they spent their entire school years in a Christian school. Barbara worked for that. Now, if this was true, that would have been different. If Barbara, who was also a pastor's wife, worked full-time the last 21 years for a judge, a circuit judge, and, of course, was very active in the church. A lot of pastor's wives don't do anything. Barbara was always busy. Children's church for over 40 years, ladies' meetings. The list is long. I'm not going to go through all. If Barbara was here, she'd be frowning at me. Of course, she'd be back teaching the kids. But she didn't like me talking about her. But Barbara was extremely organized. She had all the ducks in a row and even had the rows labeled. You know, I mean, that's how organized she was. She was able, we had two kids in diapers at one time. We were at church at 7:30 in the morning to work the bus ministry. She knew she'd have the kids bathed, had the clothes laid out, and we'd be on the bus, and I was no help. I was worthless, even more so than now. She handled all that, okay? And then she would teach when she got to the church. In the beginning, she headed up the nursery. Within a month or two after being saved, the pastor's wife saw leadership in her, and she put her in charge of the nursery that soon. And it was a big nursery. It wasn't three kids. If she could not have handled it, if the home would have suffered, then we would have had to do something else. But she excelled in everything she did. Oh, you're just saying that because she's your wife, was your wife. She still is. She will be until I die, even though she's in heaven. But she did everything well. She just did, okay? She just did. If a woman cannot handle that and the home suffers, if a woman works outside the home and the home suffers, the home has to come first according to the Word of God. Yeah, but that'll make it really tight financially. Well, I understand that, but if we're going to honor the Word of God, then what's the number one thing? It doesn't say, number one, do a good job on your job outside of the home. What does the Bible say? Keepers where? Keepers where? In the home. So the home is first. If you can handle the home and go outside of the home and work and still have a well-run home, and it depends on kids and the age, and we always made sure when the kids were too young for school, which they started in Christian preschool, but when they were really little, we always made sure it was a church member, dynamic Christian who babysat our kids, okay? We didn't hand them over to the devil. We made sure that a Christian, a good Christian, and almost always, if not always, it was a mother, obviously. So you have to, this is between you and God, you, your husband, and God, but don't listen to society that says being a homemaker is something less than a woman that has some kind of professional career. It is the highest calling. Under God, a woman being at home, taking care of her husband and her children is the highest calling. Don't look down upon someone that does that. But if you are one that is doing that, if you read Proverbs 31 and read about all that a woman did back in those Old Testament days, it's amazing. Even made their own thread, dabbled in real estate, went down to the market every day and bought all the food and did everything to prepare that food. They didn't have washing machines and dryers and dishwashers and vacuum cleaners and blenders and microwaves and all those things. So it's very easy for a woman who's home all day now, especially those whose kids are starting to get older, if she's not one to keep herself busy, can become idle and temptation can arise. So you got to be careful. I've met at-home moms who are the laziest women in the church. Not this church. I want you to know that. I'm talking back in the day when I pastored in Charlestown. We had a big church with a lot of young families, and there were several women that stayed at home, but they spent their day running the roads. If they weren't running the roads, they were watching soap operas. That's not what God meant when he said keepers at home. Okay, that's not what he meant. Stay up on the soaps. Are they still on? Are there any soaps on? I have no idea. I don't know. But anyway, what'd you say?
As the world turns.
I used to call it as the stomach turns. I just thought of that. That's right. Yeah, as the stomach turns. My grandmother, who died in 1973, the month before I met Barbara, within a couple of weeks. As the world turns, yeah. All right, so modern appliances and conveniences, of course, make things a little easier, which frees up more time, but that time can be used for all kinds of great purposes, right? Just like when we retire, retirement's big in our society. It's not really a Bible concept, but it's big in our society. We retire from our job. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing ungodly about it. But I think it should certainly open up more time to serve our God. What do you think? I think it's a good way to use some of that time that is freed up. And then I mentioned in Sunday school that we often, and I just want to throw this out, it's not an issue really here in this church, but just for the sake of information, and maybe you can share this with somebody else or your grown children, of course you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we should think twice about putting our kids in the devil's schools. We have a pretty good school system here in Morgan County. I do some subbing there. And don't think it's hypocritical that I do subbing. If I can touch a child's life in some way in the public school, and I promise you, when I sub, if I come across something in the books, like children came from monkeys, I don't teach that. I won't teach it. I just won't. Because I've done my last intermediate school class. I determined last time I taught. The only thing, I'm going to do a little bit of high school. I'm retiring from that the end of this school year. But if I would, when I would sub in a grade school, it was like the teacher was there. She had everything there that she would have taught, I had to teach. I just had to figure it out really fast because I had to learn on the fly. I had to go on. But anyway, if I came across something that was anti-God or anti-Bible, I didn't teach it. I'd skip over. And if there's a way that I could subtly get it in, as far as truth, I'd get it in there. Because there's ways you can do it. Just have to be careful. Otherwise, they'll flog and behead you, tar and feather you for speaking truth in the classroom. But seriously, I would, man, the things that we don't even think about it, that we're giving our kids over to a broken system for 7 or 8 hours a day for 12 years, and we wonder why they don't turn out so good. Isn't that crazy? We do some really silly things. I remember when Pastor Grooms, when we first got saved, and he was just starting a Christian school, and parents were saying, it's sheltering the kids. They're not going to know how to do this and that. It's shelter them. That's all you're doing, sheltering them. And here's his answer. Still remember, that's 40-some years ago. He said, if your child, you know, your child might come across a rattlesnake one day. So do you take that child and put them in a den of rattlesnakes so they'll know how to handle the situation? Does that make sense? Of course not. You're not going to do that. But we do that with school and think nothing of it. And even if there's nothing dangerously being taught, though there's a lot of junk in the school because I've been there for 11 years and seen a lot of the stuff and that they shouldn't be taught that they are, and things that they are taught to accept they shouldn't accept. So just think about it. Let me close with this regarding the women. It's not that a woman's place is in the home, but that it's her responsibility. Her responsibility is for the home. In other words, that's the highest priority. Okay? That's the highest priority. In all the years that Barbara worked, she never said, well, you work and I work, and so therefore you do half the laundry and you're doing this and you... She never one time. Now, I helped her with certain things because I wanted to. I did all the outside stuff. I took care of the cars. But I would do stuff for her in the house, but not a whole lot. And she never demanded, not one time. 48 years of marriage, not one time. She said, well, I'm working too, and you're doing this. Never. She never did. Because she knew her number one responsibility was to that home. And if she couldn't handle it, then she should quit her job. Next, being good or kind, gentle, considerate, sympathetic, friendly, sociable, cordial, likable, good-natured. To be good or kind is to be godlike. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Also in verse number 5, obedient to their own husbands, literally submissive, being attended to, listening to. It doesn't mean that the wife is lesser than the man. We are created equal in the eyes of God. There's order in the home. The husbands, we will give an account to God for how well the home is run. The woman often manages the home, but the husband is responsible in the end. Does that make sense? And I am not at all, not one little fiber of my being is what is called chauvinistic. I've told you this a gazillion times, make it a gazillion and one. Without women, the church could not operate, period. Every church I've pastored, without those godly women, we'd have no church. Much better servants than men. So I am not down on women. Matter of fact, I kind of love them. My mother was one. Though now, of course, men can have babies. That's what our government teaches. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because a trans, you know, woman that decides they're a man. Cut me some slack. I like this tribute. Now, I'm going to say something. Barb would freak, but she's in heaven, so she didn't have any say. But I'm going to read Charles Haddon Spurgeon's description of his wife. And when I read this, I teared up because it is a description of my wife. I'm not kidding you. It took my breath away. This is Spurgeon's tribute to his wife, Susanna. And I quote, "She delights in her husband, in his person, his character, his affection. To her, he is not only the chief and foremost of mankind, but in her eyes, he is all in all." Her heart's love belongs to him. And to him only. He is her little world, her paradise, her choice treasure. She is glad to sink her individuality in him. She seeks to no renown for herself. His honor is reflected upon her, and she rejoices in it. She will defend his name with her dying breath. Safe enough is he where she can speak for him. His smiling gratitude is all the reward she seeks. Even in her dress, she thinks of him, considers nothing beautiful which is distasteful to him. He has many objects in life, some of which she does not quite understand, but she believes them all, and anything she can do to promote them, she delights to perform. Such a wife as a true spouse realizes the model marriage relation and sets forth what our oneness with the Lord ought to be. End of quote. That describes her. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Last part of verse number 5. And again, I flip my pages. Last part of verse 5. Obedient to her own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed, or that others will not look down on God's word due to bad behavior, due to us not putting a walk behind our talk. To be blasphemed is also translated in some translations, reviled or dishonored. Refusing to obey the word of God dishonors, blasphemes, defames God himself, and dishonors his word. It's not just what we say or do that's evil that dishonors God and his word, but also what we fail to say or do can dishonor God just as much. Keep in mind that the lost are watching. They're watching. They're listening. They're paying attention. They want an excuse. Unfortunately, many of us give them the excuses they're looking for. Our walk must match our talk. Let's stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Sometimes, Father, we read things and study things that are difficult. Maybe it go against the grain of our thinking, even as a Christian. Sometimes we allow the flesh to gain control, and so things of the spirit not only sometimes sound foreign to our ears, but they ruffle us within as you take your word and you speak to our hearts through the power of your spirit. So, Lord, I pray that we would voluntarily submit to your authority, to your word, for that's where the blessings are. That's where the power is. That's where the joy comes from. And Father, if there's someone here that cannot remember a time and a place when they repented of their sin and believed from the heart that God loved them enough to send Jesus to die upon that cross and to be buried and rise again, the gospel of Jesus, have never acknowledged their sinfulness and their need to be born into the family of God through the power of the blood of Christ that was shed on that cross. I pray today would be the day of salvation. They'd come during the invitation and say, Pastor, I don't know that if I died I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. That we can have someone take the word of God and show them how they can be saved and know it. And Father, as we enter a brand new year, that may be the last. We may only be here for a brief period of time. The rapture might occur. We might go to be with you in death. God, help us to commit afresh and anew that we would remember that time that we presented our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service, that we will not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove and demonstrate what is that good and perfect will of God. So, Lord, have your way. May we listen to the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.